Good morning. Welcome to Christ Lutheran Church. Glad to have you all here today. Special welcome this morning to Jan Moreland. Jan's, I think this is the first time you found us over here, isn't it, Jan? Good. Everybody say good morning, Jan. Bob, the guy in the middle back there, wants to give you a tour afterwards, Jan. And so glad to have you here. Quick update on the virus situation here in our Tri-County area so you have the facts, because there's so much misinformation out there. A couple of things that happened this week is some of the facilities are going into lockdown mode again due to cases. The club is closed. The Lady Lake Specialty Care is closed. In fact, I got in there, and when I was leaving after visiting our two people, the person at the counter said, "How did you get in here? We're closed." I said, "Sometimes people think I'm a doctor," which is true. Sometimes at Walmart, they think I'm a manager, which has happened at least half a dozen times. Buffalo Crossing Rehab, I know that one is closed as well. So be careful. If you want to wear masks here, feel free. We don't have any mandate for that. If you have any underlying conditions, it would be wise to do that. For as far as the percentages, just real quickly, that because there's other numbers floating around out there, and I don't know where they come from. I've even heard them on the national news, and they're not correct. The Marion County Department of Health, this is the state site that I go to, the official Florida site. The state of Florida is only 60% vaccinated, which means there's a lot of risk out there with the variants, even for those of us who have been vaccinated. Lake County is at 58%, so less than the state average. Marion is really bad at 52% vaccination, okay? And Sumter's leading the way, as it had been, with 69% vaccinated. So just be careful out there. I wear a mask anytime I'm in a facility because I'm going to be with you on Sunday. And a facility means Walmart, everywhere else. I was in Home Depot last Sunday. It was packed. I was the only one in there with a mask on. So be careful out there. For your bulletin, it's easier to follow along with us today if you separate, pull the liturgy away from all the inserts into two pieces. This is all your information. This is all the liturgy. If you don't do that, sometimes you miss page 3 when we start doing the prayer of the day and prayer for the world. A couple of you have already given blood. We've got a couple on the blood mobile now, so thank you for doing that. I hope to give after the late service. If you do have the ability to give blood, remember that they are coming at 8 o'clock each time now. So if you want to come early so you can get it done, because a lot of you like to run out afterwards, which is fine. If you'd like an update on where I am with the Nazi flags that are flying behind the house off of 42, see me afterwards. I have made some more headway putting that house on the radar. Okay. So good morning, Jim. Martha and Al, do you have an extra bulletin for Jim? Yeah, I thought you did. He was given blood. So thank you, Jim. Quite a few of you came early. So the inserts in your bulletin today. Remember this one booklet. And I got to find it. This has all the information on donating to the mortgage fund. The inside is all the information on the kids, including Lake Weir Middle School collection back there. And a disaster relief is on the back. We don't have it in there yet, but if you'd like to help with the wildfires in California and other places out west, just put it in the memo line, send it to Salvation Army. Western wildfires, 100% goes to helping the first responders and the people who are unfortunately being ravaged by the fires. Carolyn Hunt, who had died suddenly and unexpectedly in the congregation, I had a call from her pastor in Michigan on Friday. They were celebrating her life yesterday, so that will happen, and he was excited to find out that everything the kids said about their mother was exactly who Carolyn was. And he told me something, for those of you who know Carolyn, the kids said when they found her in the house, she had fallen into the bedroom, but she looked like she was dressed for church, and she was dressed in all white. So he planned on telling them at the celebration of life, which we hope to have one here at a later date, that she fell forward into the kingdom of heaven. I said that'll help them, because she was certainly a worker in the kingdom of heaven in multiple ways. She's a really unique individual because a lot of people know her in the whole church. That doesn't happen that often. Someone blessed us with this beautiful computer last week for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Marion County. If it's yours, can we have the charger that goes with it? and a word of welcome and a word of warning. If you hand something like this to Bob Cetera, he ain't going to remember who it is. He just said it's a woman. I did not find that very helpful. Yeah, exactly. Did you hear that? Carl wants to know if you really know it was a woman. We haven't taken it up there yet. They were closed this week. They opened back up on Friday due to the coronavirus. But if you know anybody who maybe gave us that, please ask them for the charger so they can charge it up there. But, all right, we're going to take a quiet minute to prepare hearts and minds for worship. If you weren't awake, you are awake now. We continue worship on page 2 of your worship folder with the liturgy section only with the apostolic reading. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
With you.
We come together in confession. Carl, do you need a bulletin? Okay, I just wanted to make sure you did, because you were dropping food off, you didn't miss them. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, our God of manna, our God of miracles, our God of mercy. Amen. Drawn by the Holy Spirit's power in Jesus Christ's salvation and seeking God his Father's abundance, let us confess our sin. Holy Trinity, our provider, at times we do not share your abundance that you grant us. At times we question your ways when they differ from the ways of your world in which we live. At times we fail to accept your ways as righteous. At times we turn to our own understanding rather than trusting in your wisdom. At times we ignore your commandments and teachings in favor of our own ways. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to turn us back to you, your ways and your wisdom. Continue to share with us your holy words of salvation and eternal life, and send us to care for the life of your entire creation, world, and people. Amen. Beloved people of the Holy Trinity, through Jesus Christ, our holy manna from heaven, we are fed and nourished. Through Jesus Christ, our worker of holy miracles, there is always more than enough. Through Jesus Christ, our bread of life, we are granted his salvation and eternal life. And by the Holy Spirit's power, we are sent to be Jesus' manna, miracles, and bread of life for all of God his Father's creation, world, and people. Amen. We continue on page 3 of the prayer of the day, praying it together. Let us pray. God, our Father of all holy covenants, by the Holy Spirit's power, in our holy baptisms into your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, as the body of Christ, you call and send us to proclaim your kingdom, granted in Jesus in all of our actions, words, and deeds. Continue to grant us your wisdom and courage that you granted to Jesus' apostles, so that we faithfully witness to Jesus' freedom, justice, love, and peace in every circumstance of life. In the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. As we pray the prayer for the world together, we continue to keep in our prayers those who are victims of the hurricane/tropical storms, both Claudia and Elsa. The western wildfires now, that's really horrible in Oregon, how many acres have burned, people have lost their homes, and some firefighters have actually lost their lives, unfortunately. In Haiti, the turmoil with the assassination of their president. Surfside, Florida, still the condominium collapse, and I found out yesterday in Taiwan, in eastern China, there was a typhoon. It seems to me Mother Earth is telling us something. Let us pray. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples. All victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence. All victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters. All victims of war or warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Ann has our gospel for us this morning. Everybody say good morning, Ann. She's going to make her way up to the podium. If you'd like to follow along with the gospel in your bulletin, you'll find it on page 2 of the first.
Was it something I said? In St. John's Gospel, the miracles of Jesus are called signs because they reveal his holy divinity. As such, they remain a partial mystery to us. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing with sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where will we buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him because he knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because of a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
How about giving Anne a big amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here to worship you, your only begotten Son, as well as the Holy Spirit, a triune God, a powerful 3-in-1, 1-in-3. Remaining part mystery, remaining part revealed, just as Jesus' signs are so holy and divine, yet mysterious, and we believe in them, yet they certainly are beyond our total comprehension, and that's all right, because you are God and we are your creation, Father God, and you loved us enough to send your Son into the world to save not only us, but all of your creation. And when he returns at your call, he will bring all things full back to the way the Garden of Eden was before the fall of Adam and Eve. But until that time, we're busy in the ministry of worship and service. We're grateful to do so. Continue to guide us through the Holy Spirit, who continually reveals the way for us to go. If we're off track, the Holy Spirit nudges us back in our personal lives, church life, and the world to get back on track. And where we are on track, the Holy Spirit says, "Full speed ahead." May we always join in, because as Carolyn Hunt was recently called home at a moment's notice, you have the day that we will be called home. And this is a glorious opportunity to worship and serve, as Carolyn did, until you do call us home. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Great to be with you this morning, this Sunday. I was alerting you last Sunday, is a switch in our lectionary, Year B, where we study St. Mark. We were studying chapter 6 of his gospel, and now we are going to be five weeks into St. John's gospel. And there's a reason for that. This is going to lead us to the Bread of Life chapter, that comes at the end of this chapter. But today we have Jesus feeding 5,000, which we believe was men. Of course, then there were women and children, lots. And Jesus walking on the water. Two nature miracles. But placement, theologically, is always important. Did you ever think about why the gospel writers place the story in a particular location? Because it's very rare if they're all in the same location. I mean, St. John the Baptist is, because that's the beginning in general of his ministry to prepare the way of the Lord. And Jesus comes for his baptism, which is not officially recorded in St. John. It's alluded to. But those things are about it. And then never else. Jesus sometimes over here, according to one person. Jesus sometimes over there, according to another person. Don't you like that about the mystery of Jesus? Jesus saying, hey, it's what I was doing, not where I was. But listen to the theology of the placement. St. Mark is completely, radically different on placing these exact two same stories in chapter 6. Just happens to be the same chapter. They come in the middle of the gospel. If you recall last Sunday, I said they were omitted because we were going to pick them up today. Did you notice that it's the beginning of St. John's gospel today that these stories are there? You should be intrigued, as I always am. What was St. Mark doing with these two stories? He began chapter 6 with Jesus in the temple in Nazareth, where he was rejected. Upon the rejection, he sends his 12 apostles out to heal and cast out demons. We get no details. They go. They actually achieve the goal. Then immediately we're told, according to St. Mark, that St. John the Baptist is beheaded in great detail, murdered on behalf of the kingdom of heaven. That theology is a foreshadow of what's going to happen to Jesus. And he knows it, and he's grieving. Only then did the disciples, the 12 apostles, come back. And you remember, we began it last Sunday. They come back, and they tell everything Jesus they had done. And we don't know anything about what they did. It just says it's not about them. It's about Jesus. And then Jesus, as the crowds are following him, feeds the 5,000 people. And then he walks on the water. Are you starting to figure out some things? And then when he gets to the other side, there's more people and he heals more people. This is about the theology in St. Mark of Jesus knowing his murder is coming after St. John. But he continues to care for the people and he continues to give out power. That's incredible theology, because that's for us, too. Are you excited about that? Anybody but me? Anybody but me? The placement in St. John is completely theologically, radically different. Yeah, the stories are the same. Not exactly, but close. But why did he put them here? Anybody interested besides me? Why did he start this chapter with them? Ooh, the intrigue of the gospel. It should make you tingle. It should make you pay attention. It should make you say, hey, wait a minute. I want to go home and dig around in my Bible and find out some more about these things. Ooh, the living word of God. It's not getting dusty in our homes. How about that? Amen and hallelujah. You have to go back to chapter 5 to find out why St. John places these two stories here. The Passover is near, and Jesus goes to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. And only in St. John's account is this given in great detail. There is a pool of water near the temple, and it's known to have healing power. It heals. St. John says, when an angel of God comes down and touches the water and makes it ripple. Jesus is there, and there's a man lying on a mat. He's been ill and lying on that mat for 38 years. 38 years. And Jesus says to him, do you want to be well? Well, yes. But every time the water ripples, someone else who's healthier than me gets in before I do. And Jesus looks at him and just says these simple words. Pick up your mat, get up, and go. Now, there's other people around. They know this guy's been laying there for 38 years or been sick for 38 years. He hasn't moved at all. The guy springs up. Oh, are you excited? The guy springs up and picks up his mat. And I guarantee you, the whole place would have been, oh my heavens, he just spoke a word. And this guy who didn't have any family or friends to put him into the pool, when the angel had touched it, he says, get up. So the man's trucking through the temple like he never did before. And he's carrying his mat. Can you see him? One of the religious leaders stops him. Why are you carrying that mat on the Sabbath? It is not allowed. He could care less that this man had laid there for 38 years. Care less. And the man said, well, this person came by and told me to pick up my mat, get up and go, and I did. Who is he? I don't know. Find him. And the guy goes looking, but he can't find Jesus because it says he slipped out. Theology. Jesus goes looking for him. Jesus goes back and he says to him, you're healed. Do not sin again, in the theology of St. John, so that nothing like this happens to you again. It's the mystery of Jesus' teaching. Embedded in all that, what that means, Jesus doesn't unpack that. And the man now knows who Jesus is. And he goes and finds those same religious authorities. And when he finds them, he says, this man, Jesus, he's the one. And they go find Jesus. Trust me, this is important for chapter 6 and the placement of this. This is the interaction where Jesus begins to teach the religious authorities about who he is in chapter 5 of this particular gospel. We begin in verse 14. I'm going to read just 14 through 18 in chapter 5. The healed man left and told the Jewish authorities that it was Jesus who had healed him. For this reason, they began to persecute. I just lost my whole marker. Oh, there you go. God's good. Right back. That's wild. For this reason, they began to persecute Jesus because he had done this healing on a Sabbath. Teaching, St. John's teaching. Jesus answered them, my Father works always, and I too must work. This saying made the Jewish authorities all the more determined to kill him. Not only had Jesus broken the Sabbath law, but Jesus had said that God was his own Father, and in this way had made himself equal with God. Radically different theology about what happens next. Jesus goes on and continues to confound them and deepens that teaching. They're furious. He leaves. Only then does he go up the mountain. And not all the people who realize that he's healed a man, who realize that he's given them back the kingdom of heaven that's been stricken and taken away from them by the religious authorities. They're so excited, they don't care what the religious authorities think. Are you excited? More than 5,000 people come out, much to the anger and chagrin, so to speak, of this religious authorities. Completely different theology than St. Mark. Am I the only one that gets excited about these things? And this nature miracle of 5,000 is recorded in all four Gospels. I mentioned that to you last Sunday. In all four Gospels, it's almost identical, except for one sentence, which is in part of verse 5. In St. Matthew, St. Mark, and St. Luke, when it's getting late, the disciples are trying to shoo the people away. And Jesus gets angry. And he says this exact same sentence in both, all three. You give them something to eat. Did you notice he doesn't do that today? He's messing with them in the theology of St. John. That should excite you. Where, Andrew? Peter and you other 10 apostles who have just been healing and casting out demons, according to St. Mark's gospel, who have seen the great signs, including a man on a mat for 38 years, stand up and walk. Where? Don't you like it when Jesus tugs at us? Where are we to buy bread for all of these people to eat? The question, according to the theology of St. John. And the question is here for us. Where are we to do these things? No one seems excited about this with me. The answer is, show us the way, Lord. Fortunately, Andrew shows up with the boy with the five loaves and two fish. Did you notice we don't hear anything about how the disciples, apostles, were affected by this teaching? They don't even say, wow, if you were there, wouldn't you have been ecstatic and hope somebody wrote it down? We hear nothing. Nothing. Oh, well, another nature miracle. Maybe 10,000 people were fed and we have 12 baskets left over. Oh, ho, hum. It's really cool hanging out with Jesus. So he sends them away. Remember, in theology, he knows they're planning to kill him already in this gospel. The religious authorities. And when he sends them away, they start crisscrossing the Sea of Galilee, or St. John says the Sea of Tiberias. Then guess what? Imagine that. Another storm. Another storm. This is recorded in three of the Gospels. For some reason, St. Luke omits this story. But St. John is also radically different. Not only in the feeding of the 5,000, but in this story. Is anybody intrigued but me? Is anybody intrigued but me? I see some yawns out there. I see some sleeping going on. Do I need to carry on with my hands some more? This is exciting. This is about Jesus. St. Matthew and St. Mark's account, Jesus gets into the boat. In St. Matthew's account, which is my favorite, actually, St. Peter had gotten out of the boat. And you remember that he starts to sink. It's the only gospel that records that. Did you notice that Jesus never gets into the boat today? Why? St. John's trying to teach us something. He walks up to the boat, everything's calm, and it says, immediately they were at the other side. He never got in. Because if Jesus says, where are we to get bread to feed all of these people so they can eat? Immediately, if it is his will, it will happen. That is a theological connection. Whether you think that's exciting or not, I do. But Jesus asks us questions all the time. Whether we listen or not is up to us. Where and how are we going to comfort all these people who are sick and suffering? Where and how are we going to correct flaws in faith? Where and how are we going to provide comfort? Seize the moment. Jesus will instantly ask us to say, show us the way, Lord. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit and expect it to happen and happen immediately. This is exciting. This is, Paul, the mission and ministry of Christ that we get to do as individuals, family and church. If we don't do it, Jesus is going to find somebody else. For me, I like to engage in these things. I love when Jesus sends me somewhere I didn't expect. Do you? Do you? And usually, the surprises are the most fun. Ooh. I had three of those this week. John, spelled J-O-N. Oh, and then this cool name, Dave. And then Stan, one at Walmart, one at Home Depot, and one in the Villages Hospital. John, I've known for a while. He likes to talk theology with me at the Walmart on 441. He's not always there. Jesus said to me at one point in time, you know, I know a lot about medicine. Where are we going to provide the proper information on my medical ministry to my people? And I said, here I am, Lord. Send me. A couple months ago when I was in there, I was wearing my mask. John saw me. He said, Pastor, I have to ask you this. I love it. I know what's coming. And he rattled off about three conspiracy theories that were total junk about the coronavirus vaccine. But he wanted to know the truth. I said, it's a personal decision. I have made the decision to get the vaccine. but the three things that you told me are absolutely false, and if you want, I can prove it to you at the CDC and the Florida Department of Health. They were these crazy things that men will become sterile. That the only people who are in ICU are people who are vaccinated, which is 100% the other way around. I could hear Jesus when I read this gospel in the morning of today saying, where are we going to provide the proper information? And John looked at me this week and he said, I prayed and I thought a lot about what you told me. And I decided to get vaccinated because the Lord told me it was the right thing to do. Amen. And hallelujah. You can ignore that stuff that's out there or rise up. I said, John, it's your decision. Then he said this, why are you wearing a mask? You told me you were vaccinated. I said, I am. I said, I'm around a whole congregation of people on Sunday morning. So when I'm out in places like that, I wear a mask. I was probably the only one in Walmart wearing a mask. And I said, you know about the variants. The Villages Hospital had nobody in ICU on Monday. They had 20 unvaccinated people on Tuesday in ICU. It's out there. Tell people the truth. That the vaccine is a gift. You do not have to get it. It's a free country. But it is a gift, in my opinion. And then we let the Holy Spirit do the rest. So I was listening to Jesus. Where are we going to tell people the truth about medical ministry? Here I am, send me. Oh, man, I'm excited. I thought maybe that'd be it for the week. Nah. I went to Home Depot. I got a couple bushes. And they're growing all this. I call this salt and pepper. It's like a bug and it's mold. And it's like kills the bushes. And I went in. I knew Home Depot. If I walked in and showed them a couple of leaves, they'd point me right to the right direction. And so I got in there and she said, yep, take you right here. This will take care of it. And got a couple of things. And I'm wearing my mask and I headed down towards plumbing. If you were here around Memorial Day, you remember that I had to replace a sink. It was an undermount sink in my kitchen. And that became quite a project for me. But now I'm successful. It's still not leaking. But Dave is the guy there who helped me, gave me the right. I learned what plumber's putty is. I still know what it is. And I found out if you don't use it, your sink will continue to leak until you do. And he was right. So I went to see if he's working. There he was. But if you remember about my interaction with him, which was much more important than about my plumbing issue, it was the faith conversation we had. And Jesus was saying to me with today's gospel, where are we going to provide correct faith to people? Oh, I was excited. If you remember, John has two friends that he fishes with. And they are very closed-minded about the gospel. It is their denominational way, or nobody else is getting into the kingdom of heaven. It sounds a lot like what Jesus was up against with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, doesn't it? And John had said, I got to ask you a question back then. What do you think about... And there was a pretty... sorry description that was given to him. And I said, Jesus is inclusive, not exclusive. And I gave him some advice on what to tell those guys to rattle their cage. So there he was. Dave, have you been fishing yet? Well, yeah, but only one of them went. And I'm waiting to get both of them at the same time because everything that you told me, I'm going to unload on them. And he's more ticked off than ever. Because one of those bonehead, he said, you know what they told me? They're not Roman Catholic. And he said, so is St. Teresa in heaven? I said, don't worry about her. She's already in hell. And they call themselves Christian. But I've given him the ammunition. St. Teresa knows that they said that. Don't you think she's going to be waiting at the pearly gates going, well, Jesus said you can come in, but I'm not so sure. This is crazy. If you don't think that's out there in Christianity, it is. Someone said something to you, challenge it. Immediately, Jesus will give you the right response. Dave was feeling good. I was feeling good because I had my spray and the plumbing is working. I'll always remember the faith conversations with him, and I can't wait till he goes fishing with both of those guys. He has my name and number. I hope he calls me. Besides, he has a great name. to somebody who had surgery for a broken kneecap. We had two of those this week. That's really unusual. Had two kneecaps repaired, one Tuesday, one Wednesday. Was there for the pre-surgery. It was 7:45 in the morning at the Villages Hospital for the first person. She was saying, "Oh my gosh, this is so early in the morning." She comes at 10:30 service. I said, "No, it's not. You could have been here at 5. "They're open at 5 o'clock. I'm like, "Yes, they are. I had my hip replaced at West Marion. I had to be, Kay wasn't at 5 o'clock. Kay had to drop me off up there. God bless Kay for going all the way up there. In fact, remember when I got in there, Kay, the place was dark. The staff wasn't even there yet. So we had a pre-op prayer, and we have several people. We did at that point in the hospital there, too. And I walked up the steps in pre-op. By the way, it's always funny at the Villages Hospital. They always had a surgery center. Don't you like it when people throw words at you? It's now called the Advanced Surgery Center. So every time I go in there, I ask the staff, I said, "So I'm glad it's advanced now, because apparently before it was not Advanced Surgery Center." That's the way I am. So I went up the steps, and when you go that way from that end of the hospital, I was going through the second floor. That's all. You have to get to other steps. I walk the steps in the hospital. And I passed the chaplain's office, and the chaplain saw me, one of the volunteers, and he came out. And he said, "Hey, are you a priest?" I said, "No, but I act like one." And then another chaplain came up. And he said, "Hey, we have this guy up on the fifth floor. And his name's Stan." Well, that's what he goes by. His real name's not Stan. He hasn't been worshiping in the Roman Catholic Church for a long time. He would like to have confession. I said, "Well, I have it, but it's in my truck." If you don't know, it's in the hymnal. Did you know there's individual confession in the history of this church since 2002? I've done it for one person one time. And I guess Lutherans don't want to do that. And then the chaplain said this. He also wants last rites. I said, "Is he that sick?" "No." I said, "Then he's that confused." I said, "We're not giving somebody last rites if he's not in that stage of life." Well, I went up to find Stan on the fifth floor, and guess what? He's in the Advanced Acute Rehab Center. Obviously not near death. But Stan wasn't there. So I walked back down, and one of the chaplains was still there, and I said, "I couldn't find him, but we'll make sure to get Stan taken care of." I could hear Jesus saying, "So where are we going to help people and comfort someone in their time of crisis and crisis in faith?" As soon as I got here to the office, I called up St. Timothy's. I said, "Hey, I got this crazy guy named Stan. He wants a priest to come. He thinks he wants last rites, but he's not dying." And this lady's laughing on the phone. He said he's been away from the church for a long time. She goes, "Oh, we don't care about that." I said, "I know that, but I was just letting you know. But he does want individual confession." And here's what she said. "Where are you, pastor?" I said, "Christ Lutheran Church." "Didn't you tell me to talk to chaplains?" I said, "Yeah, two of them." He goes, "Why didn't they call us? We send people over there all the time." I said, "I don't know, but I'm calling you." He wasn't going to get a visit unless I called. Follow through on your faith. All I had to do was look up the phone number. And she said, "We will send someone right over." Amen and hallelujah. So when Jesus asks those questions, we say, "Here I am, Lord. Send me. Immediately give me the power to know what to do and what to say. If you don't know, call me." You think I get my hands in the middle of a lot of things? But so do you. When Jesus says, "Where are we going to help the children in poverty in the Tri-County area? Where are we going to help with natural disasters? Where are we, Christ Lutheran Church, going to help in the mourning and grieving and prayer process?" Every Sunday, it's all here. I hope you take these things home, minister, and pray. Wow. New ways to give, to support the church mortgage. Two ways to help the kids in poverty. Natural disaster response for prayer and aid. All these ministries and missions. And I'm so blessed to minister with you that several of you have already given the gift of life. And they are very short on blood. You may not think those things are that exciting this morning, but I do, because that information is there to give us all the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, here we are. That I can do. Yes, Lord, immediately send me. Yes, Lord, I will answer your question. Here I am. Send me. Amen. Thanks be to God. You'll find the communion liturgy on pages 3 and 4 of your worship folder. If you'd like to follow along. As I get the table ready, I will tell you one thing that I learned about the Nazi flags this week, because Jesus has been asking me to get involved. That doesn't mean he has to be asking you. This is not political. Robin in Marion County said, where are they? And I told her, she works for the county. She said, well, we have a location and size restriction. Keep praying. She said, are they in the front yard or the backyard? I said, backyard, right over a business that's counseling. We'll send somebody down to take pictures. Woo! Where are we, Jesus says, in the face of hate on the battle line out front, saying, here we are, Lord, send us. Remember, this table was given to all of us on the night of his betrayal, arrest, and his subsequent murder for us. The least we can do is minister in his kingdom. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God. One says it's Seco, the other one says it's the heating and air company, and we're stuck in the middle. It's like it's out every other week. Sorry, you're the guinea pigs for the 10:30. We get it fixed for them. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to strengthen us and keep us in his grace and the power of the healing Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. We continue with the blessing on backside of your worship folder, page 4, midway through, and we pray it together. Let us pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. George has are sending him up there. Will you come and follow me? It's also called The Summons, which fits today's gospel very well. Where are we going to get bread for all of these people to eat? Raise our hands and say, here I am. Otherwise, Jesus will just go find somebody else. All right, if you can give blood, please do. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day, as Jesus says, where are we to help my people? Who will I find? Here I am, Lord, send me. Amen. Hallelujah. Go in peace. Grab a cookie and share the good news. We will, with thanks to God. Amen. Have a great week serving the Lord.